KZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Two people remain in critical condition after Sunday's firebomb attack in Boulder, Colorado. The suspect, 45-year-old man named Mohammed Salomon, now facing multiple charges, including several of attempted murder.
Authorities say the suspect confessed, saying he had been planning this for a year, waiting until after his daughter graduated high school to conduct the attack. Authorities saying the suspect allegedly learned how to make them on YouTube, also finding a backpack weed sprayer filled with gasoline. Officials say he specifically targeted the Zionist group that had gathered in Boulder after learning about the group from an online search.
ABC's Mola Lange in Boulder. For the third time in 3 days, Palestinian health officials and witnesses say Israeli forces fired on people as they headed to an aid distribution site in Gaza. 27 were killed in the most recent attack. South Koreans voting in a snap election triggered by the ouster of Yoon Suk-yeol, a conservative who faces a trial on rebellion after imposing martial law last year. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Clint Eastwood is tired of sequels, franchises, and remakes. Join the club, bruh. The four-time Oscar winner is a spry 95 years old and says he misses the days when writers would hole up in a bungalow on a studio lot and churn out movies like Casablanca. The 95-year-old star of In the Line of Fire and the director of Juror No. 2 says he plans on working for a long time. Eastwood says he'll work as long as he can still learn something or until he is truly senile. 95, a sense of humor, still making movies, and he can probably take you. Here's one of Pete's picks. If you like good old-fashioned manhunts, check out American Manhunt, The Search for Osama Bin Laden. At first, I had no desire to relive 9/11, but watching it with my kids was an experience. The American Manhunt series, not to be confused with Manhunt, The Search for America's Most Gorgeous Male Model, includes two other mini-docs, The Search for O.J. Simpson and the Boston Marathon Bombing. All the series can be watched good old-fashioned binge-style on Netflix. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Brewer baseball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It's the Brewers and the Reds at Great American Ballpark for game two of a three-game series. Milwaukee winning their eighth in a row last night, 3-2 over the Reds with help from the bullpen. Rob Zastrzynski, Abner Uribe, and Trevor McGill. Pat Murphy says he needs a good performance from Freddy Peralta tonight to give that bullpen some rest like last week against Boston.
The Priester D.L. Hall game plus the off day gave us a little bit of a blow. Now here we are again with those three guys going back-to-back, which puts us in a bind, but, you know, they've come through.
NFL, Packers OTAs continue. In Madison, former running back James White, who won three Super Bowls with the Patriots, was back in Madison over the weekend, named as an inductee into the Wisconsin Athletic Hall of Fame.
You know, being around some of the guys that, you know, some of my former teammates, Travis Frederick, Melvin was here, and, you know, he kind of brings back those memories. Yeah, it's definitely cool to be back here.
That's former Badger James White with Sports on Mike Clemens.
We are the keepers of the wild. For more than 80 years, we've been committed to conserving the natural landscapes that define our nation. Nothing is more important than maintaining wild spaces for adventurers to explore and wildlife to thrive. We are America's hunters and target shooters. Together with firearm, ammunition, and archery manufacturers, we've supported the conservation of more than 36 million acres of American wildlands. For more information, visit OutdoorStewards.org.
Maggie Dawn.
At 4 o'clock, Jim Santel joins me. We go deep on the conservatives writing in opposition to Donald Trump's tariff terror.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms likely today. There could be some locally heavy rainfall amounts of a half inch or more. Our high in the low to mid 60s today. Tonight will drop into the mid 40s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high in the mid to upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now it's 64.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Michael Negron of the Small Business Majority.
You know, the Trump administration thinks that they're doing a solid for small business with their policies. And so having business owners out there talking about how, whether it's tariffs, whether it's potential cuts to health care, how it's going to hurt their bottom line, how it's going to hurt their consumers or their employees. I do think that will have a real impact. Every time he does something, he gets really bad feedback and he retreats in the face of it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons, 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, the host of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. The aforementioned Pat Kreitlow will be here, and board games are good for you. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Oh yeah, turn us loose. It's a Tuesday. Welcome to it. Hello, everybody. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yankee. Tickled to have you along with us. This is the Midwest Farm Report, and we've got a lot of ground to cover as we roll our way through the hour. John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, catching up with us this morning. So far, Dow Jones Industrial Average does not look real healthy. Our commodities are a little mixed after another robust crop progress report. We'll give you the details on how Wisconsin farmers did over the past 7 days' time. That's on the way. We're also talking, speaking of West Bend, another big event that's coming to the West Bend area beginning on June 12th. If you like farm tractors, especially John Deere farm tractors, you're going to want to make the Classic Green Reunion a part of your weekend activities. Sheila Everhart with the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association going to explain about a couple of the unique details on this show and why they decided to come to Wisconsin for their 2025 event. That plus weather with Stu Muck all on the way. Now, it does look like moisture is on the way today. Sometimes we'll see showers before 1 o'clock. Then there could be a thunderstorm between 1 and 2. Really, the rain volume depends on where you're going to be. Rain chance today is about 60%, looking at new rainfall totals between a tenth of an inch and a quarter of an inch, with some of those thunderstorms producing even more. Today's daytime high is right around 77. Tonight, more showers and thunderstorms continue. New rain amounts between a half and three quarters of an inch possible. For tomorrow, more rain in the forecast. Partly sunny skies, 72 on Wednesday. Thursday, partly sunny and 77. On Friday, partly sunny and 72. Stu Muck's got weather details in about 15 minutes.
At Second Harvest Food Bank, we know that nutritious milk is essential for growing kids and healthy families. That's why for a decade, we've partnered with Wisconsin's dairy farmers through the Adopt a Dairy Cow program. Thanks to farm families, thousands of gallons of milk have reached local families facing hunger. Visit GiveDairy.com during June Dairy Month. That's GiveDairy.com.
Veltima fungicide out-yields the competition by an average of 7 bushels per acre. But you've never been average. The only competition that really matters is you versus you. And with the performance of Veltima fungicide from BASF, you can take your best results even further. Beat your own record. Get every bushel you deserve. And make this your best season yet with Veltima fungicide from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Wisconsin State FFA Convention is right around the corner, and I'm Jill Welke from the northern end of the world's longest barn in Eau Claire, and I always enjoy chatting with the state FFA officers as they put this event together. And I have the state FFA president for 2024-2025, Jesse Thompson, originally from the Galesville-Ettrick-Trempealeau FFA chapter, 2 years in here at the state level. Let's talk about that convention. What are the dates?
The dates of our convention, the 96th convention, as you said, are June 9th through 12th. And we're so excited to welcome, you know, FFA members and so many guests and supporters down to convention. Hope to break that number of 4,000 attendees.
Now let's break that down a little bit further. The first day is a Monday. What do you do?
The first day on Monday, our members come together for the day of service. We have state officer candidate interviews and really getting our boots on the ground. Actually, for our day of service, we have over 800 student spots that will be serving the Madison area. So we have people going to different gardens, different shelters, different places around the community, and we're packaging meals as well. So we're super excited to have 800 spots serving the community. That's the highest it's ever been. So we're excited to really give back to the area that welcomes us every year. So after the day of service, we head into the rest of convention. The next day, Tuesday, we'll start with our sessions, and that's highlighting FFA members and their accomplishments throughout the year. And one thing we'll get to announce is some record high membership numbers, which we're really excited for people to tune in and listen to. So make sure to come to session one to hear that announcement. And then we'll award so many members. Hundreds of students will come across our stage, and we're excited to celebrate them and how they're helping advance the future of agriculture.
And now this membership, did it get beyond the goal that you guys put as state officers?
Yeah, it did get past our goal. So we surpassed our goal, I won't say by how much, but by a decent amount, and we're thrilled. It's really cool to have FFA members just taking advantage of experiences and record high membership, and what can we do to help, you know, get everyone involved in agriculture.
And what do you accredit that gain in membership to?
I would say there are a few things, but one thing that comes to mind when I'm thinking of record high membership and our year as state officers and as FFA members is I was always taught success breeds success. And I think that FFA is an organization that's highlighting other FFA members for, you know, their accomplishments and really giving students a place to flourish. And when students see that, they want to get involved. And I think that it's just proves that students are really excited about what's going on in our organization. And there are many things that contribute to that. But I always like to reflect back on that success breeds success.
On Wednesday, what's the focus?
Wednesday is a big day for our official business. Wednesday morning, we start with our delegate business session. And we're super excited to really bring chapters together and conduct the official business of the association. Ultimately, we're a student-led organization. We have to meet. So this is our meeting with our delegates from each chapter, and they'll get to discuss some committee topics that we're super excited about to get students' input on. Every year, the state officer team really uses this process to help guide our association goals and the goals we set as a team. So, for example, one of the things we're working on is developing a new conference, and that came directly from an idea from delegates, and it, you know, spitballed into something the state officers started working on, and now we're having a new committee on it this year, and we're just really excited to continue that discussion. You know, you see things at state convention with maps and layout. Those are all benefits of the delegate process. And then we'll have 408 students getting their state FFA degrees, which we're so excited about as well, because that's a big milestone for students. And I'm just really excited to be on stage celebrating those students and so excited to work with them.
And that's the afternoon session, but you have your evening session where you see those stars over Wisconsin.
We have someone in each of the categories, so we'll be highlighting all four categories of stars. And this is one of my favorite parts of convention, Jill. It's really exciting. You get to really learn and see, you know, the videos of students and the stories of students that put so much work into agriculture and the things they're doing. And it's just incredible. Students are doing incredible things, from dairy farms to, we were talking about labs earlier, to, you know, different businesses that they own and agri-science and all sorts of things. And it's just really cool to be able to have that moment where we're able to highlight them, but also have 4,000 people in the audience being like, wow, that's cool, and think of ideas of what they can do. And also, that same session, right after the stars, we get to learn the new state officers, which will be really exciting, something that I'm just really thrilled to be able to announce their names. And, you know, that's the next year of leadership, and that's really incredible.
And I know there's a lot of excitement that goes into preparing for those state officers. Has there been an uptick in the applications for state officers. I hear about some sections where there's quite a few candidates. Are we seeing that across the state?
You know, I think it really varies year to year. And I think that state officer interest is probably at an all-time high. And I couldn't divulge like a specific number. It's at an all-time high. And even if people aren't necessarily every year submitting that application, people are thinking about it. And there's more and more people thinking about it. I have conversations with people everywhere I go, like, oh, I want to be a state officer. I want to do that. And sometimes that doesn't come to fruition. But when it does, it's really cool. And there's a lot of interest out there. And I think that everyone just wants to get involved with leading our organization and the future of agriculture.
And it seems to me like the state officers are becoming more visual as you guys have gone along. You've put on a few miles and visited with a few people, haven't you, over the year?
It's been a lot of miles, lots of travel. I can't accredit all of the miles on my car to FFA, but I've put about 60,000 miles on my car in the last 2 years. So definitely some of that is personal mileage. I still, you know, go see my friends and things like that. But FFA has put a lot of those miles on. And each one of those miles, I think, is just a really cool story to tell. As less than 20 days, we leave our year of service. And I'll live on with these memories forever and the impact that was made on me. And just, you know, learning from so many students who excel in so many different things.
Got to get back to Madison again in that convention. The wrap up. A lot of thank yous. A lot of final announcements and the announcement of the new president. Is that what goes into all of that?
Thursday, we'll be doing all of that. Thursday morning, the session starts at 9 a.m. We'll, you know, get up early and celebrate our year of service as state officers. There will be some awards still given out. And my team will retire and we'll induct and, you know, install the new state officer team, including the new state president, which is also really exciting. As a leader, you work so hard to inspire others and impact others, and seeing that come to fruition and seeing that team lead this next year is going to be really fulfilling.
And now you putting in 2 years as a state FFA officer, always talk about what you give to students, but what do you get out of these 2 years?
This experience totally changed my life in terms of career goals, in terms of life goals. I just really have a greater understanding of what leadership is. I can, you know, give speeches. I can facilitate workshops. I can work with students and corporate partners. And these are all things that, you know, it's given me. Being a state officer has just been transformative. And I'm really looking forward to using, you know, speaking skills and workshop skills and these conversation skills in my future career. And I just really hope to continue that service to agriculture. And that's something that FFA instilled in me, but being a state officer instilled in me even more.
And the future career, what are we looking at? I know you've got your foot in a lot of different doors.
I would really like to eventually end up in maybe Washington, D.C. or Madison, working with legislators who serve areas that are heavy in agriculture, or production agriculture, I should say. I think that there's a lot to be said for having someone working in D.C. or in Madison that really understands what agriculture needs. And I really want to be that person. And I'd love to, you know, travel the country doing that. Or if I can, you know, work with the USDA or the agriculture committees, the congressional committees or something, that would be dream job, but we'll see where life goes. I still want to be involved with FFA and leadership stuff, but definitely policy as well.
Well, it's definitely been a joy visiting with you for the past 2 years and seeing your leadership growth. And that's the 2024-2025 State FFA President from Wisconsin, Jesse Thompson. And I'm Jill Welke from the northern end of the world's longest barn in Eau Claire.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Waba.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
We are not perfect here at Civic Media. Far be it. Certainly not perfect at this show. But one thing I can assure you of, our owner that I can see right through this glass right now, Sage Weil, has never once told me what to say and encourages us to speak the truth. And that's why, above all else, I'm proud to work for this company. And along with my colleagues, we will bring you what's really happening out there. And if we get it wrong along the way, we'll admit to that and correct ourselves as well.
Catch the Todd Allbaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Wounded Warrior Project has been there for me since that first day in the hospital. They got me out of the house, they got me connected with other veterans, and they helped me face my PTSD. They support me and my family at every turn. And now I'm helping other warriors realize that they're not alone.
Through our hands-on programs, supportive community, and ongoing advocacy, we help post-9/11 veterans realize what's possible. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
I was stuck in a state of panic and endless rituals, so I made the call.
Mental health care works when you make the call. Visit mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Madison film critic Rob Thomas. Civic Media's David Grant reports on the circus parade in Baraboo, and paranormal investigator Todd Michaels joins the show to freak us out.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Looking forward to anything more severe coming their way. What are you seeing develop this morning? I've been watching radar. It's lively out there.
Oh, it's active. You're no doubt about that. The cool front trying to build in now, extending from northwest Wisconsin down toward northwest Iowa into southeast Nebraska, northern Kansas. That's really just a lot of activity, a lot of rain across Nebraska. Some of the stronger activity pushing into north central Iowa, south central Minnesota this morning. Yes, there was rain yesterday. I've got a few reports from airports here. La Crosse at 5 hundredths of an inch, Eau Claire at 1,300ths of an inch, and Hayward at 1,800ths of an inch. Just a little taste. I expect that cool front drops southeast right on through Wisconsin today, not leaving the southeast part of the state till early tomorrow. And along that boundary, we are going to see some rain, showers and thunderstorms developing yet this morning in western Wisconsin, midday in the central part of the state, and then afternoon further to the southeast. There's the air quality alert as well we have to talk about today, and that's for the northwestern, almost half of Wisconsin, La Crosse and areas north up toward Wausau and up into north central Wisconsin. That smoke really hanging in. But the rain is going to be developing today, lasting through the night and then ending early Wednesday. Temperatures may not warm up much in the west. I'll have more details right after this.
Rural Mutual Insurance is a proud sponsor of the Northern Wisconsin State Fair in Chippewa Falls. As a thank you for your support, they're giving away fair tickets. Visit ruralmutual.com/win and enter to win tickets to the Northern Wisconsin State Fair.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Hey, gut yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2025 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. Highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers, the Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from four geographical divisions, with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
All righty, Stu, give us some more of the details to get us prepared for the day.
All right, where that rain builds into western Wisconsin this morning, we may have seen our high temperature already. Low 70s reported. Those temps will drop in western Wisconsin, elsewhere central in the eastern part of the state into the upper 70s. There could be an 80 here or there in the far east, and I expect rain today. Showers, could be some thunderstorms. The rain chance lasts into the night. Rain amounts pretty easily pushing up into the half or near 1 inch range from today and tonight, maybe lingering into early tomorrow in the southeast. Localized heavier amounts with thunderstorms could be a little more of a problem, and there could be some stronger winds with some of the storms that develop. Temps overnight dropping into the mid and upper 50s, and winds becoming more northerly by later tonight, about 5 to 15. And then there's still a small chance of rain in the south and east tomorrow morning. And skies will try to clear somewhat. More sun in the southeast, a few hazy clouds north, upper 60s and low 70s Wednesday, Pam, and Thursday. Partly sunny skies back into the upper 70s, you know, normal and above. And late Thursday night or Friday, another small chance of a little rain, and we dry it up to start the weekend.
All right, good enough, buddy. Thank you. We'll find out what's coming our way and talk to you again tomorrow.
All right, see you then.
Stumacher, ag meteorologist, giving you a quick update on what's happening with weather and a quick reminder that rainfall reporters, you're important to us. The talk text line is open, 877-301-FARM. Give us a call, text us.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allbald Show.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. Here at Civic Media, we believe radio plays an important role in strengthening our communities by focusing on what is happening here and now. Our broadcast lineup strives to bring you real news and great conversation throughout your day. We now bring you a portion of a recent episode of The Maggie Dawn Show, where Maggie sat down with economist Benga Adjelor, talking about what the impacts will be to rural health care with the current budget bill working its way through Washington.
Tell us what's at stake, what's currently baked into the budget reconciliation bill that will directly impact our rural communities and the health care that they can access when it comes to this $880 million in Medicaid cuts that's slated to occur.
What's happening with Medicaid, and the reason why this is such a big deal, is that they're cutting, you know, as you said, it's a massive amount, probably the biggest cut that we've seen in over 40 years, $880 billion. But the way that they're doing the cut is by adding work requirements and other administrative burdens to basically kick people off of Medicaid. If you're not, you know, if you don't have health insurance, then you're not, quote unquote, you know, spending money on health, then that's going to, you know, cause the quote unquote savings. And so the issue here is that insurance is important to help out with the hospitals. As the impact of these rural hospitals, that their financial viability a lot of time is based on Medicaid. And so I'll just throw out a few stats. So first of all, nearly half of all births in rural areas are financed by Medicaid. 47% of children are covered by Medicaid. And, you know, one of the reasons why is that when people are using healthcare and they don't have insurance, the hospital still has to take care of them because that's what they do. And so you have all these uncompensated care costs. And just as a comparison, in states that expanded Medicaid, 3% of uncompensated care costs are for hospitals in states that expanded Medicaid. In states that did not expand Medicaid, it's over 7%. And so you see that now with this cutting the $880 billion and, you know, up to upwards of almost 14 million people becoming uninsured, that's going to have dire impacts for rural hospitals.
So if a woman is having a baby, what is particularly risky about this scale of cuts to Medicaid is that as we move forward, if these cuts are adopted, it will be less likely that that woman will enter a hospital during childbirth with Medicaid. And if she doesn't have Medicaid and doesn't otherwise have health insurance, the hospital, of course, still has to care for her.
You've been listening to a portion of a recent episode of The Maggie Dawn Show, which airs across the Civic Media Radio Network weekdays from 4 to 6 p.m. Find the full broadcast lineup at civicmedia.us/shows.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
AB
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Two people remain in critical condition after Sunday's firebomb attack in Boulder, Colorado. The suspect, 45-year-old man named Mohammed Salomon, now facing multiple charges, including several of attempted murder.
Authorities say the suspect confessed, saying he had been planning this for a year, waiting until after his daughter graduated high school to conduct the attack. Authorities saying the suspect allegedly learned how to make them on YouTube, also finding a backpack weed sprayer filled with gasoline. Officials say he specifically targeted the Zionist group that had gathered in Boulder after learning about the group from an online search.
ABC's Mola Lange in Boulder. For the third time in 3 days, Palestinian health officials and witnesses say Israeli forces fired on people as they headed to an aid distribution site in Gaza. 27 were killed in the most recent attack. South Koreans voting in a snap election triggered by the ouster of Yoon Suk-yeol, a conservative who faces a trial on rebellion after imposing martial law last year. This is ABC News.
Brewer baseball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It's the Brewers and the Reds at Great American Ballpark for game two of a three-game series. Milwaukee winning their eighth in a row last night, 3-2 over the Reds with help from the bullpen. Rob Zastrzynski, Abner Uribe, and Trevor McGill. Pat Murphy says he needs a good performance from Freddy Peralta tonight to give that bullpen some rest like last week against Boston.
The Priester D.L. Hall game plus the off day gave us a little bit of a blow. Now here we are again with those three guys going back-to-back, which puts us in a bind, but, you know, they've come through.
NFL, Packers OTAs continue. In Madison, former running back James White, who won three Super Bowls with the Patriots, was back in Madison over the weekend, named as an inductee into the Wisconsin Athletic Hall of Fame.
You know, being around some of the guys that, you know, some of my former teammates, Travis Frederick, Melvin was here, and, you know, he kind of brings back those memories. Yeah, it's definitely cool to be back here.
That's former Badger James White with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Pete Schwabba. On the next Nightlight, I welcome back comedian singer Rob Perivonian and Milwaukee-based actor Rob Martin and I talk about our favorite movie gangsters. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. We recently reported on county supervisors in Shasta County, California, still clinging to
cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms likely today. There could be some locally heavy rainfall amounts of a half inch or more. Our high in the low to mid 60s today. Tonight will drop into the mid 40s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high in the mid to upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp 62.
Here's a community reminder for you from the Buzz of the North. The Hayward Community Food Shelf is available for you each first Saturday of the month. Located at the Hayward Community Food Shelf at 16216 U.S. Highway 63 in Hayward. Again, the food shelf is available the first Saturday of the month from 9 a.m. until 12 noon. Another community reminder for you from the Buzz of the North.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. Here at Civic Media, we believe radio plays an important role in strengthening our communities by focusing on what is happening here and now. Our broadcast lineup strives to bring you real news and great conversation throughout your day. We now bring you a conversation from a recent episode of the Busted Pencils podcast, talking about how AI or artificial intelligence is being utilized in rural classrooms.
I mean, really, I think it was reading so many of these books, like educational, like more theory-based books. It's like we gotta put theory into action. So it was kind of like a happen chance where we stumbled across, you know, Khan Academy with their Khanmigo, like their AI tutor bot. There's a lot more like technology sources like embedding AI into them. So we started to look at what would be the capabilities of a classroom if we let some of the tier one instruction be turned over to AI. So where students are actually receiving learning. I mean, as adults, if I want to learn how to change a faucet, I go and watch a YouTube video. Mm-hmm. Kids, this generation of kids, they want to learn via technology. They want to learn via videos. And so, I mean, I think it was just like this perfect storm of like students being disengaged, you know, I was an instructional coach and associate principal. I've sat through my fair share of lessons that I, as the adult, was bored. So it's like all these problems of practice that we were trying to like find a way to solve. And it's like, well, we have something right in our hands. And so what would it look like if we could turn over some of that tier one instruction to a tutor bot or to personalized learning via an online platform and let the teachers do the depth of knowledge and challenge-based learning and really bringing in those real world connections.
Tell us, rural Wisconsin. So this is happening then in rural Wisconsin.
It's happening. I mean, we have schools that are, I mean, we started off as like a little pilot and now it's like, I feel like every day it's like, what's going on? Like, what is going on? And in this idea of rethinking or rebuilding like public education, I think each district that we work with kind of faces their own problem of practice. We have a district that couldn't really hire a physics teacher. So how can they take a teacher that has no physics background and use AI to truly help teach the kids? We have districts who are like, you know what? No, we're going to teach math, science, ELA, all the content. We're going to teach that and we're going to reduce that time down so the kids get it all.
You've been listening to a portion of the Busted Pencils podcast. To subscribe and find all of Civic Media's podcast library, head over to our website, civicmedia.us/shows.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Is back in full bloom.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, I'll tell you, the Midwest Farm Report team is on the move. If you haven't checked out our social media streams in a little while, why don't you circle on back? Look for Midwest Farm Report basically across any of the social media platforms, and you'll see that Stephanie Hoff is down in the Windy City. As of this morning, she's along with the Clean Fuels Alliance, learning more about how Chicago and the state of Illinois really embracing biodiesel. So check out a few of her pictures and follow along in that activity. Later this week, Ben Jarboe is going to be heading towards Jefferson County as a whole, very agriculture friendly, and they are working to try to bring in more food companies to build a brand new campus in Jefferson County that can be a hub for all that kind of technology. So like I said, if you haven't followed us, Midwest Farm Report, on all the social media streams, please check back often because we got a lot of things going on this summer. Welcome back, by the way. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke. I'm in the studio. I'm the one that gets to hold down the early morning duties while everybody else goes running around. But that gives me a chance to visit with our friend John Heinberg, Market Advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. He's catching up with us live here in just a little bit. Another item that you'll want to look for in our e-newsletter and on our website is a new addition to our staff. Over the course of the next few days, I hope to introduce you to Kylie Allen from Western Iowa, just started yesterday with the Midwest Farm Report. So you'll hear more new voices and see some fresh faces if you check back often with us. We're glad to have Kylie along with us. All right, so today is the third day of June, and let me see what I can tell you as far as milestones. First of all, on this day, back in 1492, a German geographer presented the world's first globe. He called it an Earth apple, and they still have it today. They keep it in a darkened room in Nuremberg, Germany. But a guy named Martin Beheim, a German geographer, presented the first globe on this day, 1492. Happy anniversary today to actress and writer Tina Fey. She's known for her work on Saturday Night Live. She got married to composer Jeff Richman on this day in 2001, celebrating their wedding anniversary today. Congratulations. And happy birthday. If you're into tennis, you may already know this. Rafael Nadal is celebrating his 39th birthday today. And now you know. Well, we want you to know that there is going to be a flood of green coming to Wisconsin. It's not an all algae bloom. It's not an insect or anything like that. Instead, it's tractor enthusiasts from around the world that love John Deere Green. June 12th through the 15th, they are headed to the Washington County Fair Park and Conference Center for Classic Green Reunion 2025. Sheila Everhart with the Wisconsin Agriculture Tourism Association is helping them kind of get the event pulled together, load up on volunteers, and help you understand why you should be there. She explained to me a little bit about the history of the Classic Green Reunion.
Well, there was a group of collectors that got together in 2018 and said, let's start a show where people can display and exhibit all of their collections. So at that time, the Classic Green was established. And then Classic Green established the Classic Green Reunion that's held every 2 years. The first show was in Nebraska. The second show in 2021 was in Ohio. And then in 2023, it was in Tennessee. And at that point, they said, let's go to the Midwest. Where in the Midwest would be the perfect place to have Classic Green Reunion 2025? So there is a group of about 50 volunteer committee members that said, let's bring it to Wisconsin. So let's find the appropriate fair park grounds in which the show could be hosted, at which time they determined the Washington County Fair Park and Convention Center would be absolutely perfect to host these thousands of exhibits and collectors June 12th through the 14th near West Bend, Wisconsin.
Yeah, and it's unique. Not only is the facility ideal for this kind of an event and gathering, but that particular weekend, June 12th through the 14th, you also get a chance to celebrate America's Dairyland. Tell them a little bit about how the two are connected and yet separate, Sheila.
Yes, because in Wisconsin, you know, all of the farmers, we work together. So during that week on Saturday, June 13th, the Washington County Dairy Promotion Board is hosting their dairy breakfast at the Washington County Fair Park and Convention Center. So not only can you enjoy delicious fresh breakfast at this at the fair park, you can look and go to an authentic dairy farm tour. So you can have all of the tractors and equipment and collection, a great breakfast that Saturday morning, and cap it off with a tour of a working dairy farm. And it's all about collaboration. So thanks to the Washington County Dairy Promotions Board for saying, yes, we want to partner with Classic Green, and the more the merrier. So get there early, get in line, and enjoy that dairy breakfast.
Sheila Everhart, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association, helping to promote the Classic Green Reunion. Tickets are available online right now, classicgreen.org. That's where you'll see all of the events that are being planned. Again, June 12th through the 14th in West Bend at the Washington County Fair Park and Conference Center. And if it's anything connected to John Deere, it will be there or focused on as far as education. Thanks, Sheila. Markets and overnight electronic trade this morning not looking real good, but I'll tell you what, part of the reason why is crops are looking pretty good. Latest update from the Wisconsin Ag Statistical Service showed as of Sunday across Wisconsin, 93% of our corn has been planted and about 70% is rated good to excellent. That's an 8% increase in confidence in 1 week's time. 90% of our soybeans have been planted. And again, 80% called good to excellent. 95% of the oats are in the ground. 92% of the potatoes have been planted, and basically everything is looking pretty good. The pasture conditions might be a little wet in some areas. 72% of our pastures good to excellent this week. That's off just a sliver. Markets are off this morning. Dow Jones Industrial Average right now down more than 200 points. July corn's currently 3 cents lower. December new crop down a penny at 435. Soybeans for July, that's currently up about a penny, but November new crop is down a penny at 1016. July new crop wheat down a nickel right now at 534. Yesterday in the dairy complex, now remember, we're into June, so no more barrel cheese making up our milk price. The 40-pound black cheese yesterday was up 0.75 cents, 195.5. The AA butter was up 3.5 at 251 a pound. The July Class 3 milk that goes into cheese, that's currently 13 cents stronger, 1967 a hundredweight. August closed 7 cents stronger at 1959 a hundredweight. On the way next, our friend John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, going to be joining us live to paint us a picture on what's happening with the latest crop progress report. Is anybody still lagging behind as far as their planting pace? And what about the quality of the crop that's out there? John Heinberg joining us live here on the Midwest Farm Report for a Tuesday.
Can't get enough farm news? The stories you hear and more 24/7 at MidwestFarmReport.com. Stay tuned as we'll be right back.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt Nair on air.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
This is for people who watched me anchoring the news at Channel 13. My last day at TV 13 was 20 years ago yesterday.
Oh, I'm old now too.
Well, yeah, that was my whole point.
And I was too when you stopped working at TV.
That's what I get all the time now is people come up and they go, oh, were you on TV? I'm like, yeah. And then I go, don't say it. I watched you when I was a little kid. I'm like, yikes.
Catch Mornings with Pat Kreitlow at its new time, weekdays 6 to 9 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Lily Roberts, she is from the Center for American Progress Action Fund.
They're trying to pretend that this bill would be good for the working class because of this really small carve out to our tax laws. The no tax on tips piece does not at all even come close to addressing the problem of wages in this country. You know, a third of workers who work for tips in the first place don't make enough money to pay taxes at all.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Small businesses are the heart of America. As the nation's largest nonprofit resource of expert business mentoring, SCORE has helped millions of entrepreneurs build their businesses. For free, find a mentor today at score.org.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time as we'll take a look at what's happening in the state budget, your phone calls on that, and what's worse. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
334-9779. That's 800-334-9779. So, John, like I said, we are not seeing any issues at all with Wisconsin crops. Planting is just at least on pace, if not a little bit ahead. Quality of the crop looks real good as far as farmer perspective. Is there any Achilles in the bunch out there this morning that's having problems with spring planting that you're noting?
You know, we're still watching what's going on in the eastern Corn Belt, probably mainly the state of Ohio and a little bit east of there. In that regard, Ohio continues to be a major laggard in both corn and soybean planting. You know, they still got a lot of work to do in that area. I got a couple clients out there in Ohio, and it just seems like it doesn't stop raining. You know, they get their heavier rains, but it's just every couple of days, here comes another half inch, just knocks them out of the fields again. They haven't been able to really get going. And when they are planting, it's not in ideal conditions by any stretch. Now, in the big picture of things, obviously Ohio doesn't I mean, they're a producer of grain. Does it move the needle? Maybe, maybe not. You know, it's not like in Indiana or in Illinois or in Iowa or Minnesota, where, you know, where we're talking the core of the grain belt. You know, so the market's kind of already maybe moved past it now that we're, you know, 93% planted on the corn. Beans, we got still about 16% to get in, so we got to watch that. But bean planting is ahead of schedule by 4% over the 5-year average on a national scale. So the market's really probably kind of moved past the planting pace, and something were to dramatically change here in the next couple of weeks. Biggest focus right now, and it's what's been weighing on these prices, has just been the weather. I mean, you wake up this morning, you look at the radar, and there is areas that need rain are getting rain, and basically the entire Corn Belt's got a swath of green working its way across it this morning. So that just makes it real hard for money flow and end users to be buyers of corn here, as well as any of the other grains, just because of the quality of the crop and where we're at in terms of this weather forecast for the next week or so.
John Heinberg, Market Advisor with Total Farm Marketing, is joining us live here on the Midwest Farm Report. Again, totalfarmmarketing.com. The toll-free number, 800-334-9779, if you want to talk to John. Yeah, and, you know, the other thing is we've got a pretty substantial old crop corn situation still sitting around. That corn that we produced last year, maybe some soybeans left around. And now the market glitching just a little bit on question marks on tariffs. This they're calling it the whipsaw motion in the marketplace, John, where we're not sure if tariffs are on, where are they on, what degree are they on? Is that something that's being discussed too?
You know, again, it brings instability into the marketplace. The market hates instability. And realistically, so far, what's been the pattern with the tariffs? They're on, then we got a delay, and then they're back on, and then we get an extension again that we're not going to have them. I think the market's actually getting to the point, until something is physically there that we have to deal with, or we see something really physically affect the demand side of the equation, they're kind of moved past it. It's become a back burner issue in terms of how the market reacts. You know, we got this latest spat here with China in terms of who violated what trade deal and things of that nature. I don't think that was a big factor in the price of beans. I mean, we saw that handful of years ago back in 18 when we get a headline and boom, we're either up or down 20, 30 cents on the day. So right now, I think it's just purely the weather and the fact that the crop's got potential, and then right now it's going to get itself off to a very, very good start in that regard. So the tariff side of it is still there. It's just, I think it's something that just limits gains. But at the same time, it's getting to the point the market's just kind of tired of the word. I know I am from hearing it every single day in terms of how it wants to move, and it focuses on other headlines that could be bigger factors at this moment.
Yeah, for sure. John Heinberg along with us on the Midwest Farm Report. Let's talk a little bit about how then is South America handling things. Are they in the catbird seat as far as tariffs, John? And how are they doing as far as planting? They're just kind of the opposite of us, but they're still planting.
Yeah, they're actually in full harvest in most areas right now, but they are starting some of the rotation into their winter wheat and their wheat planting, that type of time frame. So yeah, basically flip the calendar from spring to fall, and that's what we're seeing in South America. Biggest talk in the marketplace, one of the biggest things weighing on corn too, is just the fact that South American crop is in such good shape. You were hearing talk up to 140 million metric tons, you know, could be coming out of there as a total corn crop. Most of that obviously in this second crop, what we call the Safrina corn, which is the exportable corn that we compete against. You know, right now we're pretty much even priced with Brazil in terms of export prices on the global scale. We're still seeing some corn move here, especially at these price levels, which is encouraging, you know, from the standpoint our old crop supply is pretty doggone tight and probably needs to get tighter. We'll see that on the WASD report next week in terms of what happens with the export demand. But the bigger picture is I think this market focuses on global supplies for both corn and soybeans, and right now that just feels like there's plenty out there that if end users needed anywhere from the United States to global supplies, they can just pull it off the marketplace very, very quickly, and that makes it real hard for prices to rally.
Yeah, we'll see what how the market reads it. Now let's pivot a little bit and talk proteins. For the past couple of weeks now, beef has obviously been not in as much supply as the U.S. consumer would like. And we still have a threat of screwworm, which is currently in Mexico. A lot of farmers afraid that pest is going to find its way into the United States. And the market seems to be paying attention to that conversation a little, isn't it, John?
It does. And actually, last week on Tuesday, we had a false article get posted on the internet and came out through the socials that screwworm was found in cattle in Missouri. And they just dropped the market that day just with that concern what would happen to consumer demand, things of that nature. It took about an hour, and then the USDA came out and said, this isn't our report, this is not true, and the media outlets who had it on their website pulled it because it was just a perfect copy of what a USDA press release would look like. And that's some of the things we deal with in the marketplace and in terms of some of the false news that can get out there and how quickly with these computer traders and their trigger words, you know, react to a headline. So just again, that brought some instability into that cattle market. Now, we haven't really recovered from it, I think, at this time frame. I think it made the investment funds kind of a little nervous about holding on to so much cattle here. But we'll have to see those fundamentals just keep rocking in terms of cash prices and those retail beef values. Stay high.
Well, like you said, we can't underplay algorithms in the markets. You know, you and I are of the vintage where we know agriculture. A lot of these traders haven't a foggy clue what a feeder cattle is from a fat animal. I mean, you know, algorithms dictate. And like you said, this social media stuff can kick the knees out of a market fast.
Yeah, very much so. And I hate to say it, with the advancement of AI, I think it's even going to get harder and harder to make sure we verify news sources. So that's going to be a big issue, I think, as we go forward here in terms of the markets, is what is true news and what is fake news.
Well, and like you said, some of the best media outlets can get sucked in on that. And that is really alarming. Again, John Heinberg joining us live here on the Midwest Farm Report. He is part of the Total Farm Marketing Team. They're out of West Bend and ready to help you. They've got clients across the United States, around the globe that they are counseling with as far as risk management. 800-334-9779 is the phone number. TotalFarmMarketing.com is the website. And we will catch up with you next week, John, and see if anything new develops in the meantime.
Sounds good. Have a great week.
All right. John Heinberg, good enough to join us this morning. And like we said, if you ever have questions or items that you'd like John to address, you can always use our talk text line and give me your insights. Our talk text line, always open, including for your rainfall reports, 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. See you tomorrow.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Nightlight with Pete Schwaba.
Matt Miller, Milwaukee-based film critic.
The film Sinners, the more distance I have from it, the more I liked it. Is that an Oscar film?
I think there is a love for what Sinners is doing, that a studio movie was this interesting and creative and thoughtful, but also entertaining. This is not the last you will hear about Sinners this year. I'd be shocked if it doesn't get a Best Picture nomination.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Tick bite that could end your livestock production days. Next on Farm to Fork. The following is a public service announcement from Farm to Fork. As you're listening to this program, a dramatic paring down of 12 regional centers for agricultural safety and health is taking place. These centers rely on funding support from the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health, and that agency's budget is being cut by more than 98%. Several of those centers have endorsed my 2025 Public Service Farm Safety and Health Campaign, what you're listening to right now. I consider this a loss to the farming community, and while no money is changing hands, a loss to this campaign as well. These centers provide a valuable service to American farmers, their families, and their workers. If you want to make a case for retaining these centers and the services they provide, get in touch with your elected officials in Washington. If enough of you do, there may be a chance to save these services and save the lives and livelihoods of America's farmers. The Lone Star tick in the central and eastern U.S. is a common transmitter of alpha-gal syndrome, an allergy to a carbohydrate found in animals like cows, pigs, and sheep. Kentucky farmer Sonia Bowes was diagnosed with AGS last year, but says she probably had it for years before that.
I ended up having to sell my animals because I was just having too many severe reactions to them.
Bowes says her symptoms were not severe, so
I was one of those people that had very mild symptoms for a very long time, and I kind of brushed it under the rug that it was something else, you know, migraines, GI issues. And then as I got bit by more ticks, my reactions progressively got worse and worse to the point where I was having cardiac symptoms every time I was around my cows.
Bose says if these symptoms start with no obvious cause, it's time to get checked out.
Know what the signs and symptoms are and go get tested if you think that you're having issues and that it's okay to switch to something else if you need to. It was really hard to give up my cows, which is what my passion was, but it's necessary sometimes for your health just to take a step back and try something new.
That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Tuesday, we're joined by dairy farmer Hans Breitenmoser as we start the annual Show of Appreciation who make June Dairy Month possible.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Dismantling the IRA and other federal clean energy incentives will add a half a gigaton of greenhouse gas emissions by 2030. That's according to modeling from Princeton University. House Republicans passed aggressive cuts to clean energy incentives in their latest budget. The Senate is now considering the bill. The Public Service Commission of Wisconsin has given the green light for a major build-out of fossil fuel-burning power plants in Wisconsin. We Energies wants to build new gas plants and operate them for 30 years, largely to meet the needs of Microsoft's new AI data center. It's turtle nesting season, and the DNR is asking drivers to slow down on roads near wet areas, lakes, and rivers. Wisconsin's 11 turtle species lay eggs from late May through June, when you can often see them along roads and in yards. You can help keep them safe by being alert when driving through their habitat. For a deep dive into environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Police say the suspect in the Boulder firebomb attack that left a dozen people wounded has spent a year planning it and learned how to make the devices and carry out the action on YouTube. Mohammed Solomon had moved to Colorado 3 years ago, and the Department of Homeland Security says he was in the country illegally, having overstayed his visa. Dozens of Palestinians killed near a food aid center in Gaza. ABC's Guy Davies has more.
The mass casualty event has been reported after another shooting near an aid distribution center in southern Gaza. The Hamas-run health ministry says at least 27 people were killed and dozens more injured. The director of Nasser Hospital is saying they're struggling to cope with the influx of casualties. This morning, the IDF said they fired shots towards suspects in the area who had deviated from an established route, but they're reviewing the incident. Guy Davies, ABC News in Tel Aviv.
Ukraine's drone attack on Russian warplanes is being seen as a serious blow to the Kremlin's strategic arsenal. Ceasefire talks in Turkey stalled. This is ABC News.
You can